But now I'm joined in the studio with Chalukah. Good morning, Chalukah.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
I'm not too bad. And Colm is going to join us as well.
Absolutely.
He's going to have a little chat.
I'm so coming Chalukah, out.
Chalukah, you're in your early, middle 20s.
We'll say 28. Yeah, I'm 28.
Still fairly young.
I don't like to admit it.
So you're going to talk a little bit about your life and growing up in Dublin and the gay scene and a little bit about how things have changed through, I suppose, genders and what's how people can deal with it now. I mean, I spoke to you off air a while ago. We had somebody in talking about their gender and how they had to change it because they were living in the wrong body. That's what they felt. They were so upset with the way they were living, and it took years and years to come about making themselves feel happy. Tell us about a little bit about your own life.
Sure. Well, everyone has their own differences, everyone has their own preferences, their understandings and where they were brought up and stuff. But me, for example, I've always been feminine. I was dancing with a hairbrush in my bedroom when I was 10, like playing with Barbie. So I've always been feminine. I've always been girly and stuff. We'd say girly, but I've always liked the more feminine things in life. That's what I've been leaning towards. So growing up, I used to express myself in a way that was natural to me. So I used to play with like dolls or whatever, and I used to just like love dresses. I loved Little Mermaid. And the way I was brought up was that if you like that, you're gay. So I remember on the street, anytime I played with dolls, whatever, the guys used to say, "Oh, you're sissy," or "You're gay," or whatever. And that was what was bred into me from a young age. That's what I thought it was.
And what age were you when you kind of were playing with dolls? You were quite young then, really, when you were playing with dolls and dressing up.
Yeah, I was probably about, I'd say, six, seven. I was watching The Little Mermaid and I had brushed my hair with a fork, like, so that was a bowl shaped haircut. So I've always, since a young age, I've always kind of, six, seven, from then on, I knew that I was very feminine, but it wasn't a conscious thing until I grew older, until people were saying, "No, you shouldn't do it. You're a sissy, you're gay," or whatever. Until I was kind of frowned upon, that's when I knew that I kind of recognised that there was a social, not at the time, but in hindsight, I recognised there was a social stigma attached to being in any way untraditionally feminine or gay or whatever.
And when you were in school and that, as you said, growing up, like, the teen years are very hard, no matter what, really, growing up. You're dealing with all hormones and emotions. So at that time of your life, did you find it extremely hard? Or were people nasty to you? Was it hard growing up where you were grown?
You grew up in Finglas.
So I'm used to live in Wexford, mother of the culture. So I moved to Dublin when I was probably about 12. So I had a year of primary up here, and then I had the rest was secondary school. Now I went to an all boys school, so a lot of my reality had to be shut down for a few years. I had to be go underground in order for me to survive. So I had to act, I had to, you know, my hair was very short, but I still came out with, I still wore makeup and fake tan to school, and I got slagged. I remember first time I went into fourth year and I got spray tan, and literally you would think, this is 2004, you think they'd seen a ghost, like you think they had someone came in with a gun, like it was so funny, like, do you know what I mean? But it was always,
and was it hard, were you accepted? Or did you find that those school years were very hard to kind of blend in?
Well, you know, 20 Finglas lads, seeing a person coming in with fake tan every week and wasn't going to give up on it. I think they just gave up and was like, "F this shit, I'm not, you know." You know, I've seen it all now, it's happening, so there's nothing we can do about it. And do you know what, they became really cool about it, they were fine, do you know what I mean? Like, I was very persistent in who I was, so you know, I wore fake tan or whatever, and it was fine. There was no big deal about it, like, after a while. So they were grand. Like, so you just have to believe in what you believe in.
Exactly. So you got through school, which wasn't too bad.
It wasn't too bad, honestly. I mean, the odd push shove here, but that's lads for you. Lads will be lads, so you can't do anything about that. I was never bullied in a bad way in secondary school. They were actually very decent, and I can say, you know.
So what happened then on in your life? Like, what were you feeling then? Where did you want to go with your life and your body?
So I never, like, as I said, when I went to, I was always very feminine and stuff when I was younger, but when I hit high school, all that went underground. So in secondary school, I never really thought about transitioning or being feminine or whatever, because it was a lot more going on. The only belief I had that there was gay, so I thought I was gay. So we'd say gay in terms of our current rhetoric and our narrative. So I thought I was gay. So I was like, the only thing I could relate to as gay, so I used to get with gay guys. And then as time went by, I began to realise that I wasn't it necessarily attracted to these guys, and I was given off a wrong image. I was given off a masculine image in order to attract these men, because I knew that if I was in any way feminine, that gay men wouldn't be attracted to me. Because there's a rule in the gay community, not a rule, but there's an unspoken thing that mask for mask it's called. So gay, we know that gay guys mainly are attracted to somewhat masculine guys. If a guy is in any way feminine or camp or skinny, or gay guys are usually not attracted to them. And I can't speak for everyone. Everyone has their own views, but usually that's the way it runs. So I had to have a mask, and I had to wear a kind of a more masculine approach that wasn't me. And I was attracting guys that, so it was like a wolf in sheep's clothing. I was attracting guys that were kind of somewhat feminine themselves, and I wasn't attracted to them. They weren't attracted to me. So there was never really a flow there. Do you know what I mean? And that's when I began to realise that I wanted to dress more, express more feminine. So I started to do drag.
Alright.
And I was like, wow, this is some empowering. But drag limited me to one stage. And I was like, okay, I want to do this in everyday life. I want to wear it. I just want to go out. I want to, you know, slay a red lip, or I want to snatch a nose or whatever, and I wanted to slay away a lace front. So I started to grow my hair long, and I started to dress more feminine.
Start dressing at home first and kind of trying outfits out, and before you actually went outside the door? Like,
yeah, I went into Penny's and bought I remember to this day, I bought a cheap lip gloss, and I bought a wig from Moore Street, and I tried it on at home, and I was like, this actually works. I put in a hun bun, so I looked like a Dublin young one. I was like, oh, this is
Chung one,
yeah, looked like a chung one. And I was like, I was like, I love this, like, I work this. And then I started to dress up, and I started to go out clubbing, and
And how did your family accept it? Was your mum and dad?
So my mum passed away 3 years ago, unfortunately. But she was like the best. My father is brilliant. My father is so supportive. I'm actually very lucky. I was blessed with two amazing, lovely, easygoing parents. You know, that's not,
that must have made it so much easier.
So much easier. I honestly don't know where it'd be. Now, obviously, you know, there's concern, of course, for, you know, if anything is new and if anything is futuristic, it takes time for people to catch up and to recognise. And I understand that now. In hindsight, obviously, I was younger then, so maybe I might have been a bit angry at people for not understanding. But then as I grew up, I realised that you should never scorn anyone for not understanding. You should teach them as opposed to to looking down on them.
Because you can understand as well, Luca, like the older generation, like my own mother is very, even to this day, and I thought, oh, mum, you can't, yeah, but you know, they weren't born that way, you know, they don't understand. And it is educating people as well, like, to, you know, kind of say, well, this is the way it is, and this is the way I am. And so you were saying, like, you started wearing women's clothes, putting the makeup on, going out. When you start going out,
well, we say women's clothes because we've only been taught of feminine clothes to be for women, but
probably,
I do believe that in the future we'll begin to maybe call them a more feminine section or a more masculine section, so there'll be an option for both biological sexes to express that way.
Yeah, you see, I told you, I'll probably say something.
Absolutely not. No, don't worry.
So where did you go then after you were going through this, and you were still in your teens at this stage? So
19 when I caught my first €20 wig from Moore Street. So,
and then how did you progress on, like, in job wise and stuff like that?
So I got my first job when I worked in a clothes shop in town, and that was a big clothes shop, and it was amazing. And I worked in full throttle, so I had the hair, the makeup, and everything, and it was lovely. The staff were great. The public were great. It was fine, and that was back in 2012. So that was when things, you know, that was before we had any of this gender thing going on in the White House or whatever, and before the referendum. So it was fine. But I've been around, you know, I've been expressing myself now for about 7 or 8 years. Like, I'm 28 now. So I've seen it. I've witnessed a massive change, a positive change in the last 7 years. Like, and it's powerful, like, you know.
There is a lot. We're, as Ireland, as a Catholic country, I think we've come a long way.
We have. We absolutely have. But in saying that, we do have a long way to go, to understanding, and it leads back again to mental health, to people's identities, to people's preferences, and to people's, you know, there's a lot of stigma attached to a lot of things. And I used to explore gender and sexuality and think it was just connected to me, but then I began to see connections everywhere. I began to see connections to mental health, to the church, to history, to oppression, to a lot of things, and everything is connected. If you look for it, you'll find it.
And is there organisations out there to help? Because I know maybe yourself, you were kind of quite clear on kind of what you wanted, but some I suppose some people are just probably, they don't really know where they are, what they're, I mean, you know, where they fit in, or do they fit in, or maybe they can't speak to the family. You were lucky, you had a good mum and dad that you could talk to. Is there organisations out there for people to talk to if they feel they need to get off the chest?
There, of course there is. The one thing I will say is there's all different types of organisations. There's Belong To, there's so many, and there's TENI, the Transgender Equality Network Ireland. There's so many places. But the one thing I will say is this is what helped me, and I can't speak for everyone, but what helped me was to kind of look inside myself, because everyone will have rules based on what they've been taught from their mentors and their parents, and those rules can be attached to old ideas and attached to other old ideas that link back to other old ideas. So those ideas may not match up to the reality of a person in 2018. So I always will say it's very important for the person to look inside themselves and to see what their options are and what feels right in their heart for them, you know.
Okay, so Luca, you went on all my life, held down a job, had a good job,
yep.
And your employer seemed to be very good, and your colleagues. What weren't you happy with your body? Why, or did you change your body at all?
Sure. So, so when I started to express myself, we'll say around 2012, I began to recognise that there was a paradox. So it came down to attraction. So this is where the connection between gender, which is how I dressed, and how I expressed, which is gender. Sex is how sex is your biology. So what's between your legs and your biology, your chromosomes, is your sex. That can't be helped. It can be changed and altered slightly by medical treatment, of course, but it's usually fixed in a way, unless there's intersex, and there's obviously you have to be aware of them. But your gender is how you express and how your role in the world and how you present, whether that's a more feminine gender, whether that's a more masculine gender, or whether that's a more neutral, which is gender fluid. So I used to express myself more feminine, but I began to realise a paradox. So that paradox was that I was attracting guys, but these guys were identifying as straight, and they were very, we'll say, discreet about their attraction. So they weren't open about their attractions. And as I began to express more feminine, and as I began to, just be comfortable with myself, I noticed those attractions were... I noticed that there was a much bigger picture and a much bigger story than I ever envisioned or ever imagined. So, for example, there was guys who were on... I used to be on Tagged when I was... 2012, so I would have been about 22. I used to be tagged. Then I moved on to, I was on Plenty Fish, and then there's an app as well called Grindr. I'm sure everyone knows about Grindr. And I noticed the sheer volume of men who are attracted to, not, we won't say me, but feminine people in general. I have lots of friends who are trans, who are gender fluid, and we've noticed time and time again the repetitive pattern was guys who identified as straight, attracted to trans feminine, and they were not discreet about it. They would never date me in public, they would never introduce me to their family or whatever, and that's very painful. So that led me to do a documentary, which we'll get into in a few minutes, if that's okay. So I've noticed that there was a paradox. So what I noticed, there was a hidden spectrum of people and identities that were yet to be discovered and yet to be yet to have space for in culture. So I was always attracted to masculine guys. I never thought they'd be attracted to me because I was male. But then I realised that they are attracted to me, these guys who identify as straight under the label, that there was no space for this. And I began to realise that I had to do something to create space and create a narrative for this to push through and to become a reality. So this is true. And I think a lot of people know this subconsciously, but there's a lot of shame there. And, you know, I find that there's men who are not attracted to other masculine men. We know that as people who are gay are attracted to more masculine people. So these straight men are not attracted to masculine people. So they're not gay. If we look at gay as an objective word, they're not actually gay. We connect gayness to an attraction to what's between your legs. That's not how it works. It works as an attraction to a gender. So if you're attracted to someone feminine, you're attracted to someone masculine. That's usually how it works. I can't speak for everyone, my experiences in 7 or 8 years, and from my research and from my friends and from looking and speaking to people online and on YouTube and all the celebrities and stuff like Jeffree Star and stuff, that usually is the way it goes. So it's about time to create space and to push forward and get rid of all those old stigmas, I guess, you know.
Okay, so looking at you, Luca, today, you're very, very pretty. You have breasts.
Yes.
So that was one operation you opted to get. Do you regret that, or did you make the right choice for doing that? Or?
Sure. Okay, so so I got breast implants 2 years ago. I used to hang around with I still hang around with some beautiful trans women, and they're absolutely stunning, beautiful, beautiful girls. And I thought that in order to for me to be attractive, or for me to be more feminine to guys, that getting breast implants would be the answer. And my friend, I remember this is a funny story, we were at a nightclub when I think it was Dicey's or whatever, and she was ahead of me in the queue, and there was girls getting refused, and she had her breasts out. She's a trans girl, beautiful, beautiful trans girl, big massive breasts, and she had them out in a dress, and the bouncer just took one look and said, "Go ahead in, darling, free drink inside." That pushed me to say, right, that's it, girl, I am going over, get the first flight over, gonna get these bazookas, you know. And that's what really pushed me, and I was like, look, what harm can it do? And I got them. Now in hindsight, if that was now, would I get them? No, because I don't necessarily need them, but I do not regret it. I think they're fine. I think I'm comfortable with them. They're here now. So
much have
they cost you? Too much.
But you're happy enough to leave everything else alone?
I'm happy enough to leave it. That's, I love my lip fillers now, so I'll be keeping that one up, you know. But other than that, I have no plans to get anything else done. I'm very happy with my body. So again, like what you're saying earlier, Debbie, about you had a friend who felt they were trapped in the wrong body.
Yeah.
So this is, as well as very important, is a lot of the rhetoric and a lot of the narrative for trans people, or for anyone that's gender non-conforming, comes from a space that was very limiting and very patriarchal. In other words, it was very Catholic, or it was very religious, or whatever. And even in America and stuff, it leads back to the patriarchy and what people think. So a lot of the language that we have right just right now at the moment, that it will change, but just right now at this moment, a lot of the language we have is very limiting. So we only have, right, you're either gay or you're transgender. So when you're transgender, the idea is that you're trapped in the wrong body, and the only way to get out of that trap is to take hormone medication and to chop everything off, or even keep it, or whatever. Everyone has their own reality. But there is other identities, and there is other options. There's more than one way to skin a chicken. So not everyone wants to chop downstairs off. Not everyone wants to take hormones. The hormones come with certain side effects. Not for everyone, but they come. You know, they can heighten anxiety. They can heighten depression. They can put on weight. But they have the good sides as well. I mean, they can do so much as well. But for me, it's not. I don't want to go on hormones. They're not for me. So I'd like people to realize that you don't have to be someone else to be yourself. Yeah. You can still express be as feminine as you want. You can grow your hair. You can do what you can lay wherever you want on the spectrum.
Can I just ask you a question? Maybe this is really naive because I'm older.
We all have to learn.
You look so, like, you look very feminine.
That's if the Penny's 3D eyelashes.
If you go to a restaurant or a cinema or a pub or anything, what toilet do you use?
Sure, I'm glad you asked these questions. These are very appropriate. So I use the female toilets simply because if I go into the male toilets, I could get looks. I could be...
assaulted.
Well, I'm do kickboxing, so no one's going to assault me and get away with it. But no one is joking.
Well, you're not away to get the drink involved.
Of course.
They get offended.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. 100% right. Yes, I could be assaulted. I could be attacked. I could be, you know, I'm very skinny. Whatever. So, anything could happen. I could be sexually assaulted. I could be assaulted. Anything could happen because they see someone that's feminine in the toilet. Yeah. So, so I use the female toilet. If there's a wheelchair toilet, I'd probably opt for that because there's less drama, as Mary J. Blige says, no more drama. So, I use the female toilet simply because I'm feminine and it matches a bit better and it's safer as well. So,
and all through your time from your teens up to now, did it affect your mental health at all?
Oh God, to be bluntly honest with you, my anxiety has been quite bad in the last year, and I've only began to find a link to that because of how I've been treated by society. Yeah, I have. Really? My anxiety is very bad. I'm improving, but I get...
Can you give us a couple of examples, Luca, as to how you have been treated by society?
Absolutely.
That have triggered serious levels of anxiety.
Of course, very relevant. Absolutely. So, I So I used to go clubbing. I've been punched. I've had my jaw broken. I've had a lot of things happen to me. And I know, and I don't care what anyone says, the reality is I know that has happened because people have been attracted to me and my friends and have not been able to have the power to push through their own insecurities because they think it makes them gay. And that's the reality, because they don't understand that there's a spectrum, that everyone has a capability to love any sex regardless, because of the, if someone's feminine, whatever. So yeah, I've had my jaw broken, I've been punched, I've had a lot of stuff. Now, that hasn't happened in a while. That happened about 4 or 5 years ago, when things before the referendum and stuff. But that's no excuse. That can still happen today. It still does happen today, and it happens purely because of ignorance and purely because of people's oppressive, deep rooted anxieties with themselves. So that's triggered a lot of my anxiety. And as you were saying about what I've experienced, I've experienced so much. So it doesn't matter how pretty you look or how feminine you look as a trans person. If you carry that label transgender, it doesn't matter if you look like Angelina Jolie or anyone like that. If you carry that label transgender, guys will not date you openly. But now some of them will, but the majority of them won't until things change, and they will change.
So that has to change as well. Of course, that's another thing that will.
Absolutely. So I've had so much anxiety, and a lot of my best, beautiful trans friends or gender non-conforming friends have had the same anxieties as me. And I used to think they might think I was weird, but then I realised I thought they were weird. But then I started to see other people with mental health issues, such as anxiety or whatever, from other areas of life. Like I know football players who have massive anxiety. I know people. It's nothing to do with your gender or sexuality. People have anxieties because of deeply rooted issues and how they were treated. And mine happens to be because of the treatment that I've had from people. For example, I'd be in a nightclub and a guy would come up to me and say, "You're absolutely beautiful, you're stunning." And I'd say, "I'm transgender, you could wear it with that." He's like, "That's no problem." And then his friends would come along and he'd completely blank me. And it's very, very painful, and that needs to change. And it's just really painful because the energy is all there. It's like looking at a brilliant computer, and if there's programs in that computer that create magic, but if you don't know the language of that computer and if you don't know how to use that computer, it's a useless piece of junk. So everything is there. It's all real. Those men are there who are attracted to us. We're attracted to them, but there's a barrier, and that barrier is very powerful. So it's all here, but these barriers are in place, and we need to change that, and it will change.
It will change in time. As I said, we've come a long way, but we've still a long way to go. Now, I know it's coming up to near the time, but we want to get in a little bit about your documentary you're talking about.
Really excited about this, Evie, and thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about it.
Well, we get you in again.
Thanks, Mel. So with all these anxieties and stuff and these things, it took me a long time to open up to people, and I began to realise there's really good people out there, and I began to open up to people and realise that not everyone is bad, not everyone is like that. So I began to realise there was a problem, there was a spectrum that needed to be visible, and there needed to be space for people. So I created a documentary. I've been using a lot of programmes, a lot of like After Effects and stuff. I trained in visual merchandising for 3 years, so I know about colours, about how things work and how things stimulate the mind. So I've a good knowledge in that. So I've been creating a documentary for the last 5 years, and it should be ready in the next few months, and I'm hoping that it will be online somewhere. And it's a very big documentary. It's a lot of interviews. It looks at everything from a perspective. It's all narrative. It's all very healing, and I'm very excited for people to see it.
Have you got a title for it, Lucas?
Yes, which I can't give away yet, unfortunately. But there should be on my Instagram. Am I allowed to give
the
Instagram?
Yeah,
so my Instagram is Luca, L-U-K-A, Keating, K-E-A-T-I-N-G, Instagram. So I have a lot of my stuff there. So there'll be a trailer for that documentary in a couple of weeks or about a month or so. So I'm really excited to bring that out, and I'm hoping that it will help some people or whatever. So
brilliant. Great. So you're doing.
Just one last thing, Debbie.
Yeah,
if you could say anything, if there's anybody listening out there struggling with gender identity this morning, and how could you encourage them?
Sure. The one thing I will say is, no matter what anyone tells you, no matter how many rhetorics there is out there right now, if you're not hurting anyone else, if you're not harming anyone else, do you. If you want to go out with a blue wig in your head and Madonna bra, do that. If you're not hurting anyone else and you're not getting anyone else's way, do that. Now, I know it might be difficult with family and friends, and it's very hard to push through that, especially if you come from a background that's not very accepting of that. Just reach out, surround yourself with your own tribe. So reach out to people online. There are bad people and there are good people. Most people are good. Most people will help you. Most people are genuine. They just have their own anxieties, their own issues. just be yourself and just reach out to people, find your tribe, start to hang around with people, start to take time to get to know people who are like you, and eventually you'll find your own feet.
And if you've got close friends that you can confide in,
reach out to me. I can help online if you want as well. Yes, I have a very, very good friends.
That's like, what you need, yeah.
Shout out to Deanie Baby, my best friend. Yeah.
Ah, great. Listen, Luca, thanks a million for talking to us today. Thank you. We will have you in again. And good luck with that documentary.